It's 8:45. We'll call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Please rise. Pledge your allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. Consent agenda, which is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held October 19th. Approve all claims through November 2nd in the amount of $1,090,000 and $104.67. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve declaring 2003 Dodge 1500 4x4 short box with matching topper with 147,000 miles. Transmission and motor are bad. 2003 Ford Explorer with 182,000 miles. Transmission is bad as surplus and calling for bids. Bids to be opened on November 16th at 9:30. Approved permit, 887 East Township 24 Barnston, 888 permit, East 31 Midland, 889 East 36 Highland, and 890 North 1 Claytonia for wind streams to install communication facility. Approved sending notice to landowners concerning Phragmites infestation. Approved township bond for Grant Township Clerk.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Approve or disapprove recommendation for special designated liquor license for English Springer Spaniel Association banquet on November 5th, 2011.
Move to approve.
Moved by Lytle, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. You want to talk about it? No? Okay.
We've got the one over here.
Yeah.
Where is it held? Where is the banquet held?
It's at Cub Creek Hunting Lodge, is that correct? 5 p.m. to midnight. Sheriff does not oppose. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove Troy Stevens on Convention Visitors Bureau Board.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Presentation.
Jim Spangler, Gage County Tourism Director. Just wanted to kind of remind you that this is to fill a vacancy that Michelle Mayfield had previously been on the board, and state statute requires two people from the lodging industry be on the board, and so the Convention and Visitors Bureau Advisory Committee recommends Troy Stevens to be on, and he can come up and say a word or two if you'd like.
Bet. All of us?
Right. Troy Stevens, member of Gage County. I'm happy to have the opportunity to be a part of this committee if you guys approve. I think tourism is a big part of Gage County, and with the bed and breakfast and the Arbor Park that I own, it's just proven to me how vital it is.
Thank you.
What do you run, or what do you do? Or
we got a
letter, but.
Okay. I own Oak Haven Acres Bed and Breakfast and RV Park out by the Homestead National Monument. The Bed and Breakfast was established in 07, the RV Park in 08. The Bed and Breakfast is a non-traditional bed and breakfast where nobody actually stays in the house. That is recognized by the Bed and Breakfast Bureau of the U.S. The RV Park is 14 drive-through slots with hookups at every slot.
Thank you for taking the time to help serve.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Thank you. Presentation of Visitors Improvement Fund Check to Community Players.
Good
he's not here quite yet, so if you want to go on and move on your agenda, I'll wait around 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
If that works.
Yeah, we can jump around that. Approve or disapprove transferring County Courthouse 2004 Freestar van to Sheriff Department and transferring Sheriff Department 2003 Windstar transport van to County Courthouse.
Oh, Rex, I think I talked a little bit about it at the last meeting.
Motions.
Oh, I'll make a motion.
Discussion. Okay, motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Bauman. Discussion. Myron, you're up.
And this is something that the county has the one van that has about 50,000 miles on it in real good condition that they've been using to drive when needed, and that we're proposing to transfer to Gus's department, and Gus has the one that's not, you know, it's still a real good usable vehicle, but has a lot more miles on and doesn't care to really use that in the day-to-day operations, which now they are. And we're just basically going to transfer the two vehicles between the two departments.
Any more discussion?
Vote. I'll just say one more thing. We found out we had to do this in here. We had to
do the paperwork.
We just couldn't switch titles or whatever. We found out, thanks to Don, that yes, we had to do the paperwork.
Our insurance carrier has to. This makes it formal for them to shift it to a law enforcement vehicle.
That we had to switch, legally switch.
On the end of discussion, I know it's been said that we're giving our county employees that work out of the courthouse an older vehicle. Historically, they use 3,000 to 5,000 miles a year. So, I mean, if we're having a van sitting here, maybe it's not the best use for our dollars to have a van sitting here where Gus can use it. The van that we're transferring over is still mechanically sound, so they can still use it. And if, as always, if they're uncomfortable, they do have the option to use their own vehicle with the mileage reimbursement. So that'll touch on that a little bit. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution for amendment and addendum to NERMA, NERMA 2, intergovernmental and interlocal agreements.
I think everyone has received a letter from NERMA. This basically is they asked for their
A motion to approve?
Yes.
Motion to approve. Seconded by Bauman. Byers approved. Seconded by Bauman. Denny, you're up.
This basically from NERMA is an ongoing thing of asking for a recommitment in order for us to be eligible for an additional dividend, and there's nothing unusual. It's out of the ordinary about this, but it does ask us to recommit for another 3-year membership.
Okay.
11-37.
And Kathy on Insurance Committee. Does Insurance Committee agree?
We have not met on this specifically, but I don't believe there's any objections.
No, it's pretty standard.
Procedure.
Yeah, it's pretty standard. Okay, any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Presentation of Visitors Improvement Fund check to community players. Now we'll do it.
Kathy, I'll have you come down since you're the ex officio on the Convention and Visitors Bureau board, and I'll just have you stand over there. We like to take advantage of these opportunities just to publicly thank the county board for approving the funds for this endeavor like this. I'll really zoom in. Wonderful. Thank you very much. You have my
Sure. Yeah, we do. Community Players Theater does greatly appreciate the funds that we received from the Visitors Improvement Fund. Obviously, since we have the check now, the funds have already been spent. We built the new stage platforms, and they were just used just last 2 weeks in our production of Moonlight Magnolias, and it'll be used next weekend in our brand new Acting Up kids show that we're going to be producing. And also the online box office will go live in about a month. And we are working with the company right now to finalize all the details on that. And if you saw in the Beatrice Daily Sun this weekend, right there is impact of the theater on tourism. There was a letter to the editor from a lady from Kentucky who had attended the show during the first week of the run, praising the production. And so right there is concrete proof that the theater does equal tourism. So thank you once again very much.
I just want to ask a question, Jamie. You were trying to do some new production of some new book, play of Gone with the Wind. Was there any success with that?
Oh, it was a disaster.
Anyone that has not seen, this group is just absolutely fantastic. We attended the last presentation. It is wonderful.
Thank you very
Jamie,
much.
For all you do.
Thank you.
And they were doing a takeoff on Gone with the Wind.
Discussion regarding proposal on park and recreation grant. Matt?
This is something that I discussed last year. Kind of put it on the back burner. There were some other things that came up that the board needed to deal with at that time. And there was a discussion in Finance Committee a couple weeks ago, and Gary prompted the conversation, so I dusted this off. And so this would be a proposal. And I gave everyone a copy, and I'll just, you know, the risk of being laborious here, I'll just read it. The overview and the purpose of this grant, what I call this grant is the Gage County Communities Parks and Recreation Improvement Grant. And the overview is the purpose of the grant is to provide funding to assist villages and cities in Gage County to develop new and or improve publicly owned parks, community centers, and playground equipment. The emphasis on this grant would be to enhance recreational facilities and equipment for the promotion of healthy youth, families, and community activities. The purpose of this, and I know in our family, well, we've got so many kids, and it's expensive to go different places outside of our community. So what we used to do, and we still do occasionally, is we go to a lot of the small towns, and we play in Gage County, and we take the kids, and we have picnics at the small parks. And what we've seen is that there's some communities that have the ability to improve those, and there's some that don't. And what we've seen in evaluations in our small communities is they've dropped off. Their focus sometimes moves away from those parks. And so we've enjoyed those. We see those as great family activities. And I thought this would be a way that we could help the communities improve those community centers. A lot of times those are in the center of town, and that can really be a great place for the community to get together and enhance Gage County as a whole. So there would be a grant application process. The maximum would be $1,000 per grant request per year. And under the grant awards under number 9, one of the things that's notable is this is going to be based on the county's budget constraints. So if we would have a bad experience, another bad winter, we would not be able to necessarily fund all of or any of the grants. But if there is a community out there that's trying to do something, I just thought of an idea that maybe we could help them do that. And it really enhances Gage County, I think, to have a good park system. I know over the years, I think, Gary, you were on the city council at the time. Beatrice has done a wonderful job of updating the parks in Beatrice. And some of the other communities, I know in my district, Claytonia and Pickerel, they both updated theirs recently. And they're just wonderful parks. And so if we have an opportunity to do that, I think it benefits the communities. And where I'm coming from, young families and kids, it's just a great place and a fairly inexpensive family activity. So I just, this is a proposal. Wanted to get some feedback, see what you thought. And then I'd like to bring this up to have formal action in 2 weeks. And basically, we would just be approving that there's a process out there. And then in the spring, if folks would submit grant applications, then we would consider those at that time.
How many total dollars were you looking at then?
Well, the most, if we gave everyone a grant award, we'd probably be looking at $11,000. I figured there's 11 communities in Gage County that have a formal body that would be requesting that. And that if we were to give that total out every year, that would be $11,000. But again, someone may request $1,000, and we may only be able to do $250 or $500. So we would have to look at that at that time. And those proposals would then come to this board for full approval, very much like the tourism grant process goes through. So, yes, Kat.
Matt, the only thing, I think this is a really great plan, and the only thing that I think maybe should be considered is requiring matching funds on the part of the community, or, you know, maybe not 50-50 match, but some sort of in-kind work or something.
And I didn't address that, and I know we spoke about this in committee, is some of the communities, they may not be doing anything. I don't know that they're not, but they may not because they really can't afford to do anything. And but, yeah, I can put that down as something we can for consideration.
Any more discussion?
Thank you.
Okay, on a discussion item, Luke commented yesterday to me that our agenda was awful short and awful boring, so he's right. We're going to give you something exciting now. The new district boundaries as they are proposed, does everyone have the maps? And it's open for discussion on what you feel, what you think, what you want to change, because this is a proposal, is what this amounts to. And we probably will
have the maps.
You had them in your tray.
You will probably vote on it in 2 weeks, Don.
Just to share.
Did we get copies of the old districts, Don?
I have a few here. I don't have enough for everybody.
Looking at this, just my quick assessment of it without talking to Don. Myron lost territory because of the growth in the north. I gained his township and a half that he lost. Looks to me like Terry has more of Beatrice, lost some rural. Matt's district expanded. Kathy's probably pretty close the same, isn't it? You're in a growth area too, though.
I think hers might have shifted around a little bit.
Shifted?
Within the city.
I went down. It looks like I went to the river instead of, looks like I lost some of it to the north there.
And you might note, we had GIS. Remember, everybody passed that we had GIS do this, so it wasn't done in-house. It was, we've given the information to him along with what the city has given us, and they've come up with the lines trying to. Terry has one, I think.
Terry's got one already.
So anyhow, he sent proposals.
I just lost you one.
Oh, this is the old one. Right.
That's the old one.
You got it. Terry.
Okay, so just looking at the old.
Yeah.
Terry lost a township and a half and gained some in Riverside. Yeah, maybe past Riverside a hair. I lost or gained a township and a half. Myron lost a township and a half. Matt gained a township and a half. And it's just because of the population shifts is all it amounts to. We do not know how many Democrats or Republicans live wherever. I don't believe that was a consideration.
This is population only.
We did not do any of these. These were done by a professional company.
Yeah.
So with no regards to who's registered where.
Was the president of that company Republican or Democrat?
Yeah. Independent, right?
I can't tell you. So that's where we're at right there anyway.
Question: We vote on just our districts as supervisors. We don't have anything to do with Beatrice City votes on their council position.
We establish ours; they establish theirs. If Don changes any voting precincts, it's the election commissioner that changes that. Don is the election commissioner, so she has talked about while we're doing these changes to incorporate some precinct changes. If you want to touch on that, now is probably the time.
The statute has changed initially. It was 1,000 voters to create a precinct. They've changed that now to 1,750, so I can consolidate precincts. A lot of these precincts that I am considering consolidating are already voting at the same location. I just have two or three precincts in one location. I'm going to eliminate some of those precincts. Like, for example, in Beatrice, we have like 1-1, 1-2, and 1-3. Those are three precincts. I can consolidate all of those by my numbers. I can consolidate them into one. what this will do for us, hopefully, is less confusion as to where the voter goes in the polling place, but it will also save Gage County a lot of money. I just calculated as a rough estimate right now, we're talking almost in salary alone $8,000 in the savings per election, because I don't need as many poll workers. And right now I have 140 poll workers because we have 28 precincts. So that could be a considerable savings. The other thing I'm looking at is the state is mandating that we have, they have mandated already, that we have these auto marks. Well, from what we understand, the funding is all is dried up. They're going to make the counties pay for any programming, upkeep, all that. Those machines originally, from what I understood when they purchased them, were a $5,000 machine. Well, they've been around quite a while already. Things are going to start needing some updating on them. Programs change every election. These are what are in the townships. So I'm looking at some of those things, and I think we can save Gage County quite a bit of money on that end of it.
Don, even, I don't know whether it was yesterday or today's Lincoln paper, I shouldn't say, I don't think it was Lincoln paper, they had an article, something about some of the polling places are going to have to be multi-language or whatever. So I don't know how that affect us in the future or not.
2 weeks ago, I went to a training in Kearney, and they let us know that there was two more counties that were ordered to have bilingual ballots. And it's on a percentage of that population within your county as to whether you have to have a... Yeah, so that's gonna have some major challenges for some people, and it would for us. You know, it'd change everything for us. So, but that right now we're still just the English ballot. Any guys, any questions on any of the precinct changes or anything?
By eliminating precincts, Don, we still have the efficiency and speed in getting results out, right?
Right, right. And actually, we have had probably helped some of the poll workers because they've complained that they're, you know, the traffic is slow because they're so many spread out. Each precinct that we have now has a smaller number, and this will. There's going to be some elections, you know, that a bigger election that may be a little busier. And I'm looking at not getting rid of every you know, the poll worker, and I'm not wanting to get rid of any of them, but we need to look at where we can save dollars and make it less confusing for the voter. I'll add on a couple extra people that are at the current, if we switch all these to the current precinct that we'll have to help flow. So that's what I'm looking at, this proposal. So if anybody has any comments, let me know.
Go ahead.
The only thing I see on this, I'm losing, you know, some town or townships, you know, right in the heart of my district, and it makes Matt's district go all the way from the north end of the county all the way to the south. That's the only thing. I mean, he's got a big discrepancy there in distance that he has to cover. That'd be the only thing. It comes right down into the heart of what used to be District 7.
If you look on your map down here, I think this is what he used as your numbers, and they're not quite as close because we did as his original proposal, because there is also a statute as far as the lines to follow, try to follow the lines with the city. And what that does when you have different lines, and my goal is to try to make it as cost effective and as well as less confusing for the poll workers that we have. Right now, and some of the language I've tried to explain it to you, when you go to the poll, especially the primary, you have several ballots, okay? The ballots are based on, okay, maybe they vote on one supervisor in this district, a different school, a different ESU. So that creates three or four. Last election, we had 123 different ballot faces. Well, if we can straighten out some lines or consolidate some lines, that avoids all of these different ballots, that avoids any errors. If you go, they pull the wrong ballot, you don't have the right one. So we're trying to straighten some things out, trying to follow some of the same lines. Sometimes it's impossible because of the numbers. We have to try to equal numbers. So
in other words, my district was long by how many votes then?
Let's see. I'm not sure if I have
that
original number.
Is that 68 votes on the bottom? Is that what that means?
Yeah, you were heavy, yeah. 68.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or your heavy now is 68 anyway compared.
Oh, still.
Yeah, your percentages, we have to, from what I understand, is try to maintain like a 10%. And so if you look on the slide of your map, it'll give you the percentages of the differences that he has. He had a target number that he tried to go by as best he could and try to straighten the lines.
Gary, are you in five?
Mm-hmm.
So actually, Gary's district is the smallest one, people-wise.
But his numbers, these numbers on the map here, don't have anything to do with my precinct numbers. So there are two separate issues. I mean, when I consolidate, my numbers are based on voters. These are based on actual people. So there's two different things here.
And you said we'd approve this at the next, hopefully at the next board meeting, but then this takes effect for what election? It takes effect immediately then, or?
Everything has to be entered in by December 1st, I believe, to the Secretary of State's office, and then we'll start, because people have to know where they're, when they register or file for office, what they're.
So, but there's some people, like up here in my district, those that I lose and those that Terry loses, voted for supervisor, and now they'll vote for supervisor 2 years later. Yeah, instead of the four, which they a lot of times would.
So really, Terry, on coming back with a different proposal, we're very limited where we didn't draft any of this. We don't even know where the numbers are, you know, of where they created them or where they got them. So, well, I mean.
If you look, Matt now is going to be covering all the way from North Gage County almost to the southern edge of Gage County. I mean, his responsibility lies with those townships. He's got a lot bigger area to cover, where if it would have been at least one township north, it would have been more centrally, or you know what I'm saying? That's all I was getting at.
Number of townships being
equal. Yes, I mean in a block.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
If his would have come up,
so this is still up for discussion. I mean, we can still modify this
down here, and mm-hmm. Texas would have had to come
so
over
we can
here.
Talk.
I mean.
Well,
well, you guys don't have it. I just looked at Don's population sheet. So, like, Highland has 852 people in it, where Elm has 146. So, I mean, it's hard to. Lincoln has 255. So, I mean, it makes it very challenging, and where I guess, and that's the aspect of, you guys know I felt we should have done this. That way we understand where the numbers come from. Mm-hmm. We're sitting here in the dark. We don't know where they got them. So, or
where you got the numbers?
Well, we know where they got them, 255, 146.
It's all the census information, yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
but they work for us. If we need to adjust this, we can, you know, if it's something we're not comfortable with, we can look at that. So this is, that's why it says proposal.
Yeah,
right?
It's a proposal.
That's my interpretation. That's a proposal. This isn't.
I agree with you, Terry. If you kept your and Matt's south and north boundaries the same where they were, I don't know how we do that population-wise. If. And I understand where Matt's coming from. He'd like the whole township because it makes it challenging mm-hmm. when you deal with the township board and you're only doing half of it. But that's how I am going to be.
Can I say one thing, though, so everybody understands? No supervisor had any input in as far as talk to this guy. I mean,
the
media knows, too. There was no influence of changing lines or anything by any supervisor. He took the census information and gave me these maps, so that's how we.
All I was doing, I was just looking at the common sense of it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Right.
I'm not saying it was done wrongly. I'm just saying that Matt's district now is spread almost from the north part of Gage County to the south end of Gage County. We've met various times with township officials. Now he's going to be covering, you know, because we're both on road and bridge, and that's, I guess, rural, if you want to call it that. So that's my only complaint, I guess, on that.
But Terry and I can meet with the clerk, and we can put, if we have an adjustment that would be a proposal that would be modified, we can bring that to this board as part of the approval process, correct? So Terry and I can, you and I can visit with the clerk, and then there would be another proposal that would come up. It would have our influence then.
Vaughn?
Well, that's up for discussion, I guess.
How many people
right?
were
right?
Right?
Yeah, you're right. Right. You're right.
Elm Township had 146.
So you could move that up to Matt's District 2 and remove that off of Terry's.
That's how it's done now.
Yeah, the proposal.
This one is the proposal. If you see this is Matt's district. It comes down now where it was half. It was split in. Here's the old one.
I'm saying put that onto Terry's.
Put Elm back into Terry.
Give it back to
Terry. Give it all to Terry.
I think that's a discussion we need to. Once we see it, because we need to get more information where those numbers are coming from. We need to.
There's 146 in Elm. Highland has 852. That's a discrepancy of the differences there.
So you can't change a whole.
Island Grove is our least populated township with 105. And then it looks like it jumps over to Elm. And then probably Sherman.
If you gave that's a little more of the city.
That's why we got to go. Yeah. We got to look at the numbers and
see at the city. If Matt would
color charts
up
are nice in there. They use a lot of ink, but I think we need to sit down and see where the number. We need the black and white numbers and see
I
where
agree
people
with you.
Sit.
If Matt maybe would have a little bit more of Terry's proposed city, I don't know if that's possible or not. And then Terry would still end up with the Elm. Those are for discussion.
I don't disagree.
The point is, there's just not a lot of time left to modify and change. That's, really there isn't.
We need to do this our next meeting.
Yeah, it needs to be done. Okay, any more discussion on the proposals, district proposals? Committee reports.
I might just throw out, if it's okay, Friends of the Court of the Gage County Courthouse, I think, would like to do an open house in the courthouse in conjunction with the lighting ceremony. And they obviously will need cooperation from the elected officials to be in their offices, and so we can make people feel comfortable as they're coming through the courthouse. Plans haven't been made, but I think they want to do that with our approval if we're okay with it, and I think we have been thinking about how we can get the courthouse open. That'd be a perfect time for people to see it. They would use their members as far as tour guides and what have you and stuff, so then we would need the cooperation of our elected officials in order to be present so that we have the office.
When is the lighting?
The 20th or something like that. Without my calendar, when is it?
The weekend before Thanksgiving.
So we will have the meeting the 16th to vote on it, so we can get that on the agenda to vote on it the 16th.
Okay. Sounds good. I didn't know if we actually needed approval to have an open house or not.
Probably do. I mean, for liability reasons.
Liability? Yeah. I've heard of that.
Yeah. Any other committee reports?
Yeah. I'll do road and bridge. Terry was gone Monday or whatever. Talked about the one of the dump trucks when they were pulling out of the pit, Beatrice Concrete pit, the rear end or the drive line or something with the rear end went out. They had it up at Lincoln and they repaired that. And in the meantime, one of our tractors down there, he rented a side dump from Beatrice Concrete to use, and for the whole month it was cheapest was for the whole month, and he's just keeping that for the whole month to help haul gravel. One, some of the One of the Sterling trucks in particular, he thinks a head gasket was out on one of the Sterling dump trucks. Two rural timber bridges he had to close in the county. One was way south off between Odell and Lanham down there. Some of the stringers were broke this past few weeks. He's closed that. He's trying to get bids on maybe replacing that with a culvert down in that way. And the other one was up at Adams also. There was some a wooden bridge on that. That was a minimum maintenance road down there. And the one up at Adams, too, is a minimum maintenance road. But a wooden bridge up there had some timber damage underneath that he's closed for now. And he's planning on trying to open both of those once he figures out what cost and all of that are. Galen will be gone this Thursday and Friday to RC training. The first half of this fall, we were going to do half of the fall gravel allotment. He said that's almost done. He has a couple townships. One doesn't really want to do it until after the winter, and the other one. So he may start or is probably going to start on the second half of the fall allotment.
You know, when he said that day, it made me wonder a little bit, is there allocation maybe too much if you don't want the... When your fall allotment is due, you want to wait?
Well, they didn't want it. They didn't want it because of the snow this winter. They didn't want to grade it right off, have a snow come in and end up grading it off in the grader.
Right, I understand
that was just one township.
But it means they must have enough material there that they can ride it through without worrying about it. Just something to think about, Gary.
The discussion I got from a couple of guys was the fact that we're getting so late into the fall, they're not going to be able to get it worked in the road. And like Myron said, they'll just be pushing it straight off the road. Not the fact they think they need the material, but at this point it's too late in their opinion. That was what was brought to me.
It's been so hard with no moisture.
Yeah.
What we put on, none of it's probably worked in.
What you put on now without moisture is not going to get worked in. It has a greater chance to end up in the greater ditch, and I can see why some of them may be. And that was a little bit why when we had the original discussion about just half of the allotment, Galen didn't think we had enough time to get everybody's fall allotment done, so Matt and some of the others brought up, let's do a half of allotment for all the townships. That way they all get some. You know, this fall yet before, and get time to get it working and everything. So,
the slowness only all started last spring when we had pit was down, didn't get opened up till late summer, basically, or summer anyway.
All summer.
And so that set everybody behind on their gravel allocations, and that's part of the reason why we're still going into it this fall yet. So.
There was some discussion south of Cordon up there along Highway 77. Couple properties there. The city of Cortland has had a request that there may be too much junk or whatever, and so discussion was we need to bring that to Roger, our county attorney, and have him look at all of those guidelines and see what all goes on there. The stop sign, the three stop signs are the count is done, and now he needs to get together with Mark, and hopefully at the next meeting he might have proposals on the stop sign studies. That was basically the road and bridge.
Okay.
Then I got the sheriff's department. We had a law enforcement committee meeting. Gus had down. He had a camera, a little portable camera that you could actually fit in the size of a pop bottle, and he had one of those down for us to see. We visited with a couple of the co-ops in the community or the town or the county about interest in them helping finance that. That cost will be around $5,000 for that particular one. Gus is going to get more back. And it's used mainly for surveillance and looking at the infrared part of it and recording it and helping out in surveillance in not only in anhydrous facilities throughout the county but other things also. Gus brought us up to date a little bit more on seed and the funding that they're having. We visited with Chief Lang also during that meeting, and they're having another meeting in a couple weeks, and they'll be getting back to us more about seed. And then the other thing, probably the biggest or costliest thing, was Amber was there with some proposals on updating our bathrooms in the jail facilities and the 2 6 stall blocks. She had one initial bid of just the stainless steel in those 6 stall blocks, for 12 units. The initial bid on that was $38,000-$39,000. And that doesn't include any of the plumbing or any of the fixtures or whatever you call them. She had a bid on that, but we weren't sure that was the right, correct bid, so she's coming back with that. But just so you're aware of, if you need to, Gus welcomes anybody over there to come look at those. I know some of us have seen them already. They are deteriorating. They're steel back there now, and anytime that's in a bathroom facility, you're going to have rust, and they can't fix the rust. They need to take it all out, replace it. That's why stainless steel, and stainless steel isn't cheap. For 12 units, it was, like I said, $38,000, $39,000. And those are just proposals now. If we decide to go ahead and do that, then they're going to have to put that out on bids because of that volume of dollar. I don't know, Gus, did you have anything else? Or The one thing brought up.
Many of these things aren't a matter if we decide to. It's a matter of what jail standards tells us we have to do and what the fire marshal tells us we have to do. It's not a matter of us making a decision on, well, we won't put any new latrines in. You know, they say, oh, yes, you will. We have to decide how we're going to do it and who's going to do it. But it'll be very, very expensive, and well, you need to be aware that that's coming.
And Gus brought up, I think we put $125,000, or it was $110,000 or $125,000 in the budget this year just because of the jail renovations that the state fire marshal is doing, having us do. And then he brought up about how much of the fact that this will take a great share of that money to do this, but this also has to be done to meet the jail standards and stuff. And there was discussion at the committee meeting about the fact that the new jail was defeated. That doesn't end the cost. We still have the cost and the upkeep. And there was even discussion about at what point in time, or do we even think about ever, some of the counties have gone to allocating all the prisoners out to another facility and just paying that person over there for that and those costs. Oh, and Gus, if I can do the email, Rex asked about the jail population you sent us out. If I can go ahead and do that. He sent an email out since we did that at a committee meeting. From January of 2010 through October 31st of 2010, our average jail population was 18.66. From January of 2011 through October 31st of 2011, our average jail population was 26.44, or eight more people. That does not include anybody that is farmed out to another facility. He said currently, this was, yesterday, currently they have 30 people in the facility and 10 more are farmed out. So anytime, this year so far, we're averaging over 26 people per day in our jail.
Paul.
I'm here to seek approval of the board in endorsing a tire amnesty day in August. We need to submit a proposal in January in order to do that, and we need to have your blessing in order to do that. By endorsing your blessing, you're saying, Paul Hay and the Extension Office, along with Keep Beatrice Beautiful, is not going to come back to you with any fees or things like that, which we have been able to accomplish. But if something would happen, whatever, you are endorsing the project, we run over our allocation or something like that. We have been very, very good about matching our allocations because we count tires on smaller loads and we weigh trucks on larger loads, so we have been very accurate in knowing what we've got, and we have gone over our allocation in every one of the pickups we've had, but only with the endorsement of the state that we picked up funds from other places that we could use. So we have been very successful. I'd point out that there's four sites where there were huge accumulations of tires. Quote unquote, illegal, I don't know how you define that, but of those, two of those have been cleaned up in Gage County, one in Jefferson County and one in Gage County are in the process of being cleaned up. This summer we should be able to get most of one done, and depending on how much I tweak the other guy, how much he has to he's to the point where he's got to get a backhoe to dig stuff out to bring the rest of it, but I think we can kind of work with him. There's a couple others. We've been very successful at getting old tires off the farm from silage piles that were commonly used. We've got a couple of those sitting out there waiting yet, so that's kind of where our successes have been in getting an awful lot of tires in here like that. So would appreciate it, and I don't know if I didn't get on the agenda correctly, whether you can do it this time or next time, but we need to get an endorsement from you to support our efforts.
Yeah, we'll have it on the agenda next time.
So. Any questions about it? We have not... some of these grants, when they get them, they say Gage County or the city of Fairbury or somewhere, you know, and they are quizzing people at the door and asking them closely where exactly they're from and like that. We basically quiz people to make sure that they are not tires that should not be there, as in commercial entities that have already been paid to handle those and then are trying to take advantage of us. We may try to make sure they're not there, but whether they're from a line, across the line, or wherever, we aren't paying a lot of attention. We're trying to get the tires in the pile and get them taken care of. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you comment?
Okay.
I just wanted to commend you, Paul, because every time that you've ran one of these, you've done an excellent job. It seems like the site is always clean. By the time you get everything picked up and hauled off, you can't even tell that there was a tire amnesty that went on in that location, and it seems like you have done an excellent job.
Done pretty well. Been a little more challenging dealing with the Ag Society because, you know, if it's wet, you can't help but do a little damage to the area, but we're getting along all right on that, and they're gonna, I'm sure they're going to host us again. So appreciate that, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Matt, you're up.
EMS update. Again, in response to the letter from the AG's office, and Roger's not here, I'd have him comment on that. They're proposing some modifications to our EMS agreements with those entities that were contracted with under that interlocal agreement. And so as they make those changes, then present that to the board. And they're still working on that. So, and Rick's actually been the one working on that. So County Attorney's office is working on modifying that, and so when that comes back before the board, we'll have to reapprove those secondary to those entities and approving those as well. So just keep you up to date on those.
Okay, thank you.
I want to remind everybody about the joint meeting next Monday.
Oh yeah, Monday, Economic Development will meet with the city 6 p.m. In their where am I pointing? Across that way to the administration building, 6 o'clock with the city. Short meeting.
There's nothing we'll take any action on, is there? I have an annual meeting somewhere else that
I can't. There may be an action item on there. I'm working with Rick and Roger on that, and we're also working with the city of how that needs to take place, because we are developing we won't be entering into an interlocal agreement there, but because we are working with the city and we're two public bodies and we do want to create a hybrid system that is public and I also has a private entity, we're trying to go through that. And then there'll be a gentleman, Myron's been in contact with a gentleman from Smart Solutions, so there'll be at least two people there.
We're going to be there from Smart Solution, and they're going to give a short presentation or talk, and then have some other data there for us and information.
And we'll probably have, I talked to Roger, I don't know if we, because we haven't really entered into an agreement yet, we can't really affirm any new board members, but the at-will folks from the community, we're trying to introduce them that night too, and say these are the folks that are at large that are going to work with this group and introduce those folks.
So you'll be able to identify those individuals, even though formally they won't be.
Yeah, but I
wish I could be there. I apologize, but I do. I have another board meeting, an annual meeting in McCool Junction.
Sure.
So I'd rather go to your meeting. It's no reason for me not to be there other than I have another meeting.
Sure. Okay. Very good. So yeah.
What else, Matt?
That's it.
Okay, the auditor's report is public. If you guys need copies, it's at auditors.nebraska.gov. So, and they are public now. Okay, is there any other thing for the good of the order? If not, I want an executive session on closed session for the FOP update and personnel, needless injury for personnel. So if there's nothing else for...
We're going to executive session.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Discussion? Vote? 7-0 to approve. There will be no action coming out of this either. So it's just up. Need a motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Moved by Lytle.
Second.
Seconded by Dorn. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Anything else for the good of the order of the Gage County Board of Supervisors? Meeting adjourned, 10:17.